Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, 13. We are in the third lesson of my How to Share the Gospel series. Let's just read this one verse to start. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Father, I just ask you in the name of Jesus that you would anoint our minds and hearts and spirits to be able to receive your word. Lord, let nobody get hung up in trying to remember a bunch of stuff, but to internalize your word and your gospel so we can be effective sharing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it seems to me like I'm really loud out there. Is that not the case? What?
The monitor's giving a little bit of feedback.
We don't have monitors.
I'm
yeah. Okay, well, that sounds better to me. Something happened. Okay, you fixed it, whatever it was. Or else it's just me. I've got these new hearing aids, and so I'm hearing everything funny. So, all right. But I noticed today my ears stick out more with the hearing aids on. So. I don't like that part, but it's all right. Anyway, last week we began talking about how to get into the gospel, and we talked about small talk. Getting into the gospel, the first thing you do is small talk. You don't just walk up to somebody and start hitting them with these questions. You build a connection, a bridge of some sort, and most people that you share with aren't strangers. They're people you know, and you're going to have small talk with them anyway, right? But there are people you share with that you don't know, and you want to have some kind of connection. So we talked about establishing a connection or some kind of friendship, talked about how not to do it. You don't just blast people and say things like, well, you're going to hell, you sinner, if you don't repent. And your attitude determines their latitude. In other words, they're going to let you share to the degree that your attitude doesn't like tick them off and make them stick their hand up. People might reject the vessel, but they're not necessarily rejecting Jesus or the gospel. I've noticed that. Some people, they don't want to talk to certain people because of the way they come across. So don't be that guy. And if you're a jerk, nobody's going to listen to you. If you're too pushy, what will they do? They'll push you away. So it's a dance. Really, and the Holy Spirit is your dance instructor. The Holy Spirit gives you the, okay, you can push a little bit now, you need to back off now, you need to shut up now, you need to be bold and say that now. Nobody can teach you that. You have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in those situations. We want to develop empathy for people, and we're not just there to tell people how wrong they are and where they're wrong. There's a place to talk about what's wrong, but how you talk about it is really important. The whole key is you need to earn the right to be heard. You can be as right as rain all day long, but if people don't give you permission to talk to them, you're not sharing the gospel with them. Right? Okay. So, for instance, I'm gay and Christians are judgmental. Well, if you act disgusted, you just proved their point. Right? You need to have empathy and love people right where they're at. You're not there to win an argument with people. How many know you can win the battle and lose the soul? So, at some point, you've got to transition to what I call big talk. You can small talk for 5 minutes or 5 days. And some people, that's all they ever do is small talk. But at some point, you have to take the plunge and transition into big talk. And that's what everybody's all nervous about, being able to make that big talk switch. I believe, again, if you're praying and your desire is to share the gospel with the person, the Holy Spirit will prompt you at the right time. If that's your mission, to share the gospel with them. If your mission's just to be friendly and make connections, then that's fine. But you're not going to share the gospel with them if that's all you're shooting for. So you got to know what you're shooting for, right? If your goal is to share the gospel, I promise you the Holy Spirit wants you to share the gospel with them more than you want to share the gospel. And he will give you the urging, the prompting, now's the time. And sometimes he'll say, nope, don't do it now. They're not open to receiving what you have to say. But again, only you and the Holy Spirit can work on that one. This is a huge revelation. Here's how you make the transition into big talk. If you can remember this sentence, you've got it. You ready? May I ask you a question? There you go. You just made the transition. Because they're gonna answer either yes or no. If they say no, then okay, it's been nice talking to you. But most people are going to say, sure. And here's the thing. When you're sharing the gospel with anybody, it's different from standing up here and preaching. I can say all kinds of things to you when I'm preaching. But if we're talking one-on-one, I need to respect you as a human being. Amen? And so when you ask permission, as much as possible when you're talking to somebody, ask permission. You're not being unbold by asking permission. And it communicates respect. What you don't want to communicate to somebody is, listen up, I got something to tell you. I'm going to tell you, and what they're hearing is, I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with you and how you need to get your act together. When people hear that, they just turned you off and they're not listening anymore. So as much as possible, ask permission. And then here's the question that you want to ask. May I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure where you would spend eternity? Or you can use the evangelism explosion. This is called diagnostic question number one. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? So you can use any variety of that question. I usually just say, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure where you would spend eternity? I try to stay away from churchy words, although eternity is a churchy word, right? But where you'd spend heaven, that used to be a really good question, but now people have such weird ideas of heaven. Sometimes it generates responses that take you off on rabbit trails. So I just use the word eternity. Where would you spend eternity? Now, this is not the actual question that you want to get to. This is the question leading up to the question. We're called to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, right? So you're not being deceitful or anything if you're kind of putting a little bait out there. Fishermen use bait, right? You're helping to prompt a little desire. Because honestly, a lot of people hardly ever think about where they're going to spend eternity, except when their Aunt Myrtle dies and they're at a funeral, or you know, this or that has happened in their life and it makes them think about, oh, what will happen when I die? But honestly, most people, when that thought hits their head, they immediately distract themselves with something else. They turn the TV on, they do something else. They don't want to think about that question. But when you're asking the question, you've caused them to have to stop and think about it. And there are three general answers people will give you to those questions. One, you say, do you know where you would spend eternity if you died tonight? They'll say yes. And that's fine if they say yes. Right then, you don't have to say, okay, tell me why you think that. Don't do that. Say, can I ask you another question? Okay? Because there's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven and they aren't, but they think they are really strongly. So you're not there to debate why they think they're going to heaven. Your goal is to be able to share the gospel with them, okay? Not win an argument with them. So there's two other possible answers, and I've gotten this a lot. Well, nobody can know that for sure. That's a wonderful opening for you. Why? We just read it. When somebody says that, in which case you say, oh, well, did you know that the Bible says that these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life? Did you know that you can know for sure? Another answer you might get, and by the way, right there is a time that you can say, well, you know, I used to not know for sure. And then you can give your testimony to how you came to Jesus. Here's the third answer. Really, these are the only three answers I remember ever getting, some variety of all three of these answers. No, I don't know. Some people are really honest. I don't know. And some people say, I know I'm not going. I'm going to hell. It's great when people are that honest because they might honestly hear you share the gospel. So if they say, no, I don't know, you say, oh, well, did you know the Bible says you can know? 1 John 5:13 says these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. That everybody really wants to know whether or not they've got eternal life or not. Most people do, unless they're really high. Then they don't care. They think they're already there. So again, if they answer that way, just share your testimony again. You know, there's a time that I didn't know whether or not. So Nick, back when I was a young man, you know, I was running around smoking dope and drinking and doing all this stuff, and I didn't even think about it very much, but I didn't know whether or not I was going to heaven or not. Nobody really asked me the question before, but then I realized one day that I probably wasn't. And so I found out that there was a way to know that I have eternal life. And so I believed the gospel, and I invited Christ to be my Lord, and I knew that I had eternal life. And now God has given me an amazing life, an amazing ministry. I've got love, joy, and peace that I never had before, and He completely changed everything about my life. And I could tell you 20 more minutes of how good that's been. I could have told you 20 minutes of how I actually got saved. But I don't want to do all that detail yet because we haven't. The goal is not to tell you all about me, but to tell you the gospel. But your testimony, nobody's testimony is boring. If you've got an actual testimony of how you got born again, that's powerful. Your testimony is one of the most powerful things that you can share. Then after you share that testimony, would you like to know how to receive that free gift? By this time, they do. Sometimes, I've had this happen many times, people were like, before you even ask the question, well, how do you get that gift? And again, they've just opened the door wide open for you to share. So here's some questions not to ask. These are important because we do this all the time. Are you a Christian? That's the worst question you can ask somebody. Or are you Baptist? Are you Pentecostal? Are you Methodist? Any of those kind of questions are the ultra-religious-y questions that people have 1,000 assumptions in their head about. And so don't ever ask anybody if they're a Christian. I never ask that question because people don't even know what a Christian is anymore. It's a religious word. Here's another one that's not very good. Are you saved? Not lost people, they're like, saved from what? You know, they don't know what you're talking about. This one isn't great either. Have you trusted Christ? That's a churchy sounding phrase. I mean, we know what we mean when we say it, but your typical lost person doesn't. Here's another one. We're all bad about this. Do you know Jesus? Lost person. He lived 2,000 years ago. Come on, you weirdo. Or do you know the Lord? That's a little better, but they don't get it. They really don't. And if you indicate that they don't, then they're a little offended. Here's another one. Do you know you're going to hell? That now the Holy Spirit could tell you to say that, but generally speaking, you shouldn't lead with that. Have you repented of your sins? Again, that's a valid question, but your average person has no idea what repent means. Have you made Christ your Lord? Or have you made Christ your Savior? It's not a bad question, but keep in mind, you want to get to the place where you can share the gospel with them. So you don't want to inject all these really churchy questions. Have you accepted Jesus? Or have you accepted Christ? People don't know what you're talking about. What's that mean to accept Jesus? Do you believe? Do you believe? Now that really makes people, you don't know what they're thinking. Or do you believe in Jesus? Again, that's a little better, but they're not sure what you're asking. Do you believe in the Lord? Again, you'll get a generic of, well, of course I believe in the Lord. Do you know where you're going? By the way, if you ask somebody, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the Lord? Or are you a Christian? And they say, yes, they've kind of ended the discussion. If you challenge that now, all these walls are going up. They're a little offended that you're challenging their answer. So you want to avoid that. Do you know where you're going? That's somewhat better because you just asked that in the first question, right? But when you say, do you know where you're going? They might be thinking, well, next month I'm going out to L.A. I'm going on vacation in a little bit. So see, there's no context to that. Do you know where you're going? Here's a good one. Do you know the way? Well, yeah, I know how to get to work. Again, and there's probably 100 other questions like that. You got to think about the person you're talking to, what they're thinking, how they're processing what you're saying. So then your testimony. All testimonies are interesting, but you need to learn how to share it in 3 to 5 minutes. It's one of the most powerful tools in your tool bag. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, that's another scripture you can turn to. We've all heard this before. Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Do not minimize your testimony. Some people say, well, I don't have much of a testimony. I was in church a week after I was born. I was raised on a pew, and I never did all that stuff you did, Pastor. And I don't really have a testimony. You do. Did you know that Nick was saved from being a strung-out heroin addict? Did you know that Amy, you won't believe this about Amy, she was saved from being a prostitute? The truth is, if you grew up in the church and you got saved at a very young age, God saved you from a whole bunch of stuff that you never got into. And that's a heck of a testimony, because especially in this culture, most people you meet, they've been into all kinds of dark stuff. But if you've been saved and kept at an early age, that's a tremendous testimony. So don't discount that testimony at all. And you'll find some people will go, oh man, I can't even imagine how wonderful that would be to have not ever gotten into all this stuff that I got into. So you've got a great testimony. So testimony needs to consist of three things. Number one, what I was before. what I was before. What was I like? Especially if you knew that you knew you were lost, you want to share that, but you don't need to go into graphic detail necessarily. Secondly, how I received Christ. What happened at that moment that you received Christ? And thirdly, what this eternal life has meant to me since. In other words, what's the Lord doing in my life now? How is love, joy, and peace happening in my life now? So you want to emphasize the positive. It doesn't mean that it's a cakewalk, but generally speaking, you just met this person. And when Jesus delivered the demoniac, he said, go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. He didn't say, go tell everybody that you lost all your friends, your wife left you, you lost your job because you became a Christian, you know, everybody was persecuting you, and now, you know, your life is really terrible, but I'm going to heaven. You want to join me? You know, most people aren't interested in joining you on that journey because, they don't know the context. It's a common mistake to talk too much about how bad you were, and you can actually give too much glory to the devil with that, and it's a common mistake to give too much detail. And if you're talking to an elderly lady sitting in their living room, and you tell her, well, you know what? I used to break into old people's houses and steal everything they had. And if I ever surprised anybody, I'd just knock them out and take everything. Well, about that time, this little lady's not hearing another word you're saying. She's going to sitting there wondering if you're going to backslide. And she's wondering where her pistol is. So you've just really put her on edge. So a little lady like that, you don't want to give her all the details. But if you're talking about somebody that was like you, like if you were a drug addict and you're talking to a drug addict, you can tell them, you know, I was laying around in a crack house one day and I'd been up for 6 days. They can relate, but the little lady isn't going to relate to that. So you don't need to give her those details. So you have to offer something better. So let's break down those three things real quick. What I was before. You're trying to identify. That's the whole point. If I'm talking to a druggie, I can talk about druggie stuff. But if I'm talking to grandma, not so much. It doesn't mean that you hide anything or you pretend to be what you're not. You just want to be careful in how the details you share. You don't want to share too much personal detail, depending on how well you know the person. Now, if you know the person real good and you've been working up to sharing the gospel with them, maybe you can share more detail. But generally speaking, that goes with the level of relationship you have with the person. And even with people you know, for instance, I was sexually abused. My dad used to come in my room and you start telling him what he did to you. Not a good idea. There's time to share that maybe. Like if you're talking to another person that has been sexually abused, that would benefit from you sharing details, maybe. But again, Holy Spirit's got to lead you in how much and how little to share with those kind of things. Generally speaking, when you're sharing this part, people don't care about where you went to school. They don't care about what you did in eighth grade. They don't care if you were in the band. They don't care if you ran track. You want to keep it relevant to what you were before, but not too much travelogue, I call it. Not too much just telling them, you know, all the fun things you did in school. They don't care if they don't know you very well. They really don't. They'll listen to you politely, but it's going to hinder you from going on sharing the gospel. Then you get to the part of how I received. Again, avoid pointless details. Well, I remember that day, the grass was really green, the birds were chirping, and My Aunt Myrtle was over that day cooking food. Man, that food smells so good. I couldn't wait to eat. And on and on, you can do that. She was a very spiritual person, but she didn't ever share the gospel with me or anything. And it's very easy to run on with those kinds of things. And it's a sure sign that you're doing too much of that if you see them going, trying to continue to pay attention to you. So you want to be very specific related to how you actually got saved. I was lying in bed on a Christmas Eve, and I had been crying out to the Lord to save me and help me. And I had realized through reading the Bible that I was on my way to hell, and I was desperate. And that Christmas Eve, I realized that it was the Lord's birthday. So I just did a crazy thing. I began to praise the Lord and worship the Lord and thank Him, or tell Him, it's your birthday, Lord. I'm just going to worship you. And when I did that, it was like somebody opened my bedroom window and poured a 5-gallon bucket of love, joy, and peace on me. And all of a sudden, I knew that I knew that I knew that I had eternal life. Now, that's my testimony. That's the moment I got born again. That was kind of interesting, wasn't it? Anybody who gets born again has an interesting story. You just want to cut to the chase, if you will, and not just fill it in with a bunch of verbiage. And then after that, you got to kind of balance these three things. What a difference it's made now. Now I'm peaceful in stressful situations. Now I have love that I never could find before. Now I have joy in my life. I never had joy. I had to get high to get joy before. But now I've got joy. I had to get high to have peace. But now I have peace without taking anything. And so all those three areas are your testimony. They want to know what you were. They really want to know how you came from there to being what you are now. And they want to know what God's doing in your life now. Okay? So I want to challenge you before next week. Go home and write out your testimony in a way that you could share it with somebody in 3 to 5 minutes. And then find somebody to share that testimony with it. Read it to them. And this is a sneaky, but you can ask one of your unsaved friends. I'm trying to write my testimony for this course I'm taking on Wednesday nights. Would you mind listening to it? If they're your friend, they're probably going to say, sure, no problem. And you share it. And it could be you share it and they go, I didn't really know that. Tell me more. You might lead somebody to the Lord. Who knows? But I want to challenge you this week to do that. Then after you've read it and shared it with somebody, rewrite it and share it again. Because what you'll find, you'll share it and you'll say, you know, I got too much stuff in that. I'm going to narrow it down. It doesn't hurt to rewrite it 3 or 4 times. I'm not saying that every time you share your testimony, you need to pull out a piece of paper and read your testimony. It's your testimony. You really know it well. But you want to figure out what's going to be effective and what's not going to be effective. Now, and I'll say on the other side of that, I have shared my testimony and taken 20, 25 minutes to do it. You can sometimes do that. Generally speaking, you don't want to do that. You can always add to it, but you want to have that basic little bit that you can share with anybody anytime. Excuse me? I still didn't understand.
Elevator pitch is what we call it in sales. If you can't tell them by the time you get through running the elevator with them, it's too long.
There you go. Yes. That's good. I like that. Elevator sales. I hadn't heard that expression before, but that's a good expression. Avoid vague generalities. Use humor if you can't. Can paint a picture. People love pictures. Paint them a picture. Here's the second question. Here's where you're really getting down to it. You've asked the first question, do you know for sure if you were to die right now, if you'd go to heaven or if you've got eternal life? The second question is what you're really getting at. Can I ask you another question? There I went and asked permission again, right? Can I ask you another question? Suppose you were to die tonight and stand before God and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Now you're going to meddling, right? That's the question that's going to shake them up. And that's why it's good to have a little humor. I'll usually say, you know, I ask everybody these two questions. And here's my second question. By the time I ask the second question, they're usually like, what's the question? And you want them at that place. If you were to die today and stand before God, and he said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? When they answer that question, they're going to tell you what they're really trusting for eternal life. Again, there's about 3-4 answers you'll get. One is, well, I don't know. I never really thought about it. Whenever somebody says that to me, I say, well, what do you think you would say? Or what do you think you should say? And 99 times out of 100, if they're not a Christian, if they're not truly saved, this is the kind of answer you'll get. Well, I've been a pretty good person. I've tried to treat people right. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I've gone to church. You'll get some kind of a works answer, something that they've done to earn their way into heaven. And generally speaking, that's a lost person you're talking to. They might very well think they're saved. But if what they're trusting in is what they've done to make themselves acceptable to God, then they're probably not saved. And I'm not picking on any particular denominations. But almost every time when I ask a Catholic who's not a Christian, there are Catholics that are Christian. When I ask a Catholic that's not a Christian this question, it's always, well, I've been a really good person. I do this at church, or I've done this for people. I help people. And it's all about what they're doing to be made acceptable to God. Some people will go right to that. They won't say, I don't know. I've never thought about it. They'll just go right, well, I'm a good person. I'm better than my neighbor, you know. When people are comparing themselves with other people as to why God ought to let them into heaven, you're probably talking to a lost person. If they're actually saved, they might not know all the scriptures to share with you. They might not give you a textbook response, but they'll give some sort of answer that makes it clear that they're trusting in Christ alone for their salvation. However that comes out, they might not have the right words. And you do want to see, if you're going to share the gospel with somebody, you want to see if they need what you're selling. There's no point in sharing the gospel with them if they're actually already saved. But now what you might want to do, if you're not sure, sometimes you're not sure, it doesn't hurt to share the gospel with somebody for assurance. A lot of people have not really thought about the foundations of why they're saved and that sort of thing. They might appreciate you sharing the gospel with them. They go, oh, yeah, I've done that. But they also might surprise you. There's people that I have shared the gospel with. I was pretty sure when we started that they were a Christian. But as we got into it, it became very clear they really weren't. They had no assurance of their salvation. They were not saved. And I was able to lead them to the Lord. It's very easy to make assumptions up front, especially those sweet little old ladies. I had one lady one time. I sat in her living room, and I said, have you ever sinned? She said, no. I said, well, come on, you've done something. No, I don't think so. And I said, have you ever done this? She said, no. Have you ever done this? No. Have you ever done this? No. And I was shooting off questions, and I was starting to wonder, maybe I did find somebody that's never sinned here. And Then finally, the Holy Spirit gave me a question. I said, do you tithe? She said, well, no. I said, aha, you're stealing from God. And so then I was able to get her to admit she had sinned. Because if people don't believe they're sinners, they can't be saved. I've found it's generally harder to get somebody lost than it is to get them saved. So, works answer, or I don't know, or some of the honest ones will say, well, I know I'm going to hell. He wouldn't let me in. I love it when I get people that answer that way. So here's how you can respond. You know, before we started talking, I thought I had good news to share with you, but now that I've heard your answer, I've got the best news you ever heard in your whole life. Would you mind, here I'm asking permission again, right? Would you mind if I share with you how a person can know that they have eternal life? 9 times out of 10, if you've been able to get this far with them, they're going to say, please do. And some of them will say, how do I get that eternal life? I mean, we make assumptions that people are all anti-Jesus. That's not really. They're misinformed, and they don't even know what they want. And most people are longing for eternal life. And you've got the answer. You've got to have that confidence in Jesus in you, that you've got what they need, because you really do if they're not saved. So would you mind if I just took another few minutes and shared with you how you can receive the gift of eternal life and know it? Or you can say that in various ways. Can I share with you what the Bible says about how a person can receive eternal life? Any question like that will do. And they'll either say no, in which case you say, this has been great. Hey, let me know if I can ever help you. I'll be praying for you. Or they'll say yes, which 9 times out of 10, if you've shared this far with them, they're going to say yes. And you start like this. We've got just a few minutes. I'll stop here in just a minute. The Bible says, this is how you transition into actually sharing the gospel. The Bible says that eternal life is a free gift and cannot be earned. That's how you make the leap into sharing the gospel. Okay? And you share the basic elements of the gospel. There are 6 basic elements of the gospel. You want to know what they are? Everybody say this with me. Give me grape juice right now. Say it again. Give me grape juice right now. That's the gospel. That's the basic elements. Grace. Man. What else? What's next? God. J. Jesus. Repentance. Faith. Grace. Man. God. Christ or Jesus. Repentance and faith. If you share those 6 elements with somebody, you've shared the gospel. Those are what I call the guts of the gospel. Grace, man, God, Christ, repentance, and faith. Give me grape juice right now. Yes. Excuse me?
Where does the end come in?
What end?
Now. Give me grape juice right now.
I had a brain fart. I don't know why I said right now. It's real fast, is what you should have said. See, I'm just seeing if you can think on your feet. Give me grape juice real fast, not right now. Forget I said that. Okay, repeat this after me. Give me grape juice real fast. Give me grape juice real fast. Grace, man, God, Christ, repentance, and faith. Thank you for catching that, Bob. Well, obviously, I need sleep and food, so that's a good place to end. Yes. Grace, man, God, Jesus, or Christ, or Jesus Christ, repentance, and faith. All right. So we'll really get into that next week, and next week we'll talk about what grace is and how to share with people about grace, the scriptures that you need to communicate grace to people. And so basically all you're doing, honestly, every one of you could go away from here tonight with that grace, man, God, Christ, repentance, and faith. Get your Bible out, look up all the scriptures on each one of those topics, and come up with your own scriptures to share with people. So I'm going to give you two or three and some illustrations under each point that you can use. What's most important is that you actually start talking and actually begin to share with people, because you'll find if you do that, the Holy Spirit will give you stuff that you didn't even know you knew. And it's exciting. So raise your hand if you need to get saved. All right. Probably all you guys are saved already. So, Father, thank you for a great night. I thank you for your good word that changed our lives and can change the whole world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.